Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's our series, Christ in the Old Testament, kind of tracking Jacob a little bit here and there through the book of Genesis. Jacob is a troublesome character, but in the end, he is kind of put forth as, in spite of himself, still being the recipient, the one who carries forward the promise that God had made to Abraham and to Isaac. Now we come down to Jacob. And kind of, if I'm not mistaken, kind of late in his story, not so late as the Joseph saga, but late in his story in Genesis 35, and we find not only Jacob, but we find Christ in the story of Jacob as well. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, and he's host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Brian, welcome back.
It's great to be here, Todd.
You've got a lot of different ways we're going to find Jesus in this chapter of the book of Genesis. But first, in terms of the story, where do we find Jacob in Genesis 35? What point in his life and his story are we finding him now?
Yeah, very good. We were talking before about how Jacob's leaving the land of his father-in-law. He's hightailing it out there with his two wives, with Leah and Rachel. And so then you have it in chapter 33 where Jacob will meet up with his brother Esau. But in particular, in chapter 34, what had just taken place was Dinah was defiled. And so you have one of the daughters here, and she's defiled. She's one of Jacob's. And you have the pagans, the Gentiles, are defiling her. She's raped, right? And so this causes this consternation with Jacob's sons, and they go to war. They go out to battle, of course. And so chapter 34 leaves us on this note in Shechem. This is the place where they're at. And in Shechem, Jacob is very anxious now, because now with this whole defiling of Dinah and this whole war that's now under this pagan area, that trouble is brewing. And so chapter 34 ends with this note where you have Jacob kind of giving a lecture to his sons and saying, you know, what trouble now have you brought upon us by doing this? We are going to have to face the consequences of this. So this is kind of where we end with chapter 34 at Shechem. And so this is how chapter 35 then opens, in this moment of affliction and trial and tribulation.
Okay, so you say we can first see Jesus in a distinction of how God is addressed there in Genesis 35. Where is it?
Yeah, so right away, immediately at Genesis 35, you have this again, this language, this phraseology of God said. So God is speaking. Now, in this passage in particular, we want to pull this apart a little bit and try to figure out what is taking place here. What is the Holy Spirit trying to teach us about the reality of God that we are to know? Well, the text tells us that God said to Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there. Make an altar there to the God who appeared to you when you fled from your brother Esau. And so this is this point in time where you have God speaking to Jacob. Now, as we talked last time, Valerius Herberger has this wonderful, helpful understanding of this Hebrew word Elohim as a plural. And this plural is this divine council. And the council speaks, and it is always the spokesman is the son. And so the son is going to be the spokesman who speaks. But like we've said before, you can never separate the Father from the Holy Spirit. So when you have Elohim speaking, you have the son as the spokesman, but of course he's speaking the words that the Father has given him to speak. So when the son speaks, so does the Father, and of course so does the Holy Spirit. And so Elohim speaks. But we know that this plurality is always teaching us about this plurality of persons. You have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And you'll see this later on in verse 7 of this chapter, where in particular it says that Elohim had revealed themselves to him when he fled from his brother. Now, typically in English translations, we try to polish this up because themselves sounds different to us if we're not thinking Trinitarian. And so we say that God revealed himself to him. But literally, this is this plurality, that Elohim, the plurality of the divine persons, has revealed themselves to Jacob, specifically in the Son as the spokesman. Now, of course, again, all three agree, and they all say the same thing. So the Son says the words that the Father gives him to speak, and the Holy Spirit confirms these words. And so you have all three saying, listen to the Son, and the Son speaks. And that's why in chapter 35, verse 1, you see something very unique taking place here. And when we look at these words of Moses, we want to ask the question, what is the Holy Spirit trying to teach us? What is he revealing to us? Well, he's revealing to us this plurality of persons, and Elohim said to Jacob. But interestingly enough, though, Elohim says, arise and go to Bethel and dwell there, and make an altar there to El. Not Elohim in the plural, but El in the singular. So you have the plurality saying, go to the place where the singular person of the Son appeared to you when you fled from your brother. And so you have all three persons of the Trinity, but of course the spokesman there being the Son, and the assurance of the Father and the Holy Spirit saying, listen to him. Because if you want to know God, you go to the Son, the one who comes and appears to us, the one who reveals the love of the Father. Because apart from the Son, all you have is the wrath of God because of our sin. So he's taking him specifically back to Bethel, the house of God, the place where El, the God, in particular the Son, appeared to him, directing him to the comfort and the promises of the Son at this location. This is the location where God spoke these promises.
And he's affirming the fact that what Jacob had experienced there before was, in fact, an appearance of the true God.
Exactly. And so he's affirming this, reaffirming, and going back and saying, go back to the same location. And when you go to the location, this appearance and this speaking, this is all incarnational language, where God comes to dwell with us, that God comes to reveal to us the knowledge of salvation. And so he takes them back to that same location, Bethel. Go there and hear the same words again, the same words of promise that I spoke. I'll speak them once more again to you, and I'll continue to speak them.
You say that we can also see Jesus in the repetition, the reciting again of the promises that Jacob now hears from God. Take us in there, if you would.
So he's going to go back to Bethel, and again, God will appear to him. So Elohim appears to Jacob again, and he blesses him, just like he blessed him before, and so now Jacob sees God. So God had protected him, he had directed him, he had blessed him, he continues to be with him, and he sends him back to this initial place where he had the dream with the ladder, which paints that portrait of the person and work of the Messiah. And so it's at this place where he reiterates, once again, hearing those promises. And so just like we continue to gather today in the presence of God before his face, and Jesus is there in our midst, and we hear the same promises again and again and again. For the sake of Christ Jesus, God has favor with us. Our sins were imputed to him. His righteousness is imputed to us. And so in Christ there is no condemnation. We are a new creation. And so it's the same promises as we gather to hear as God speaks to us. Well, this is exactly what happens when he goes back to Bethel. And so when he goes back to Bethel, Elohim speaks to him and says, your name is Jacob, and no longer shall your name be called Jacob, but Israel shall be your name. So he called his name Israel. Well, we already know this. This was the name he was already given. You know, he's given when he's wrestling with the second person of the Blessed Trinity. This is this new name, and he's assuring him in his identity. You are Israel. You are my chosen one here. And then he continues, and he speaks these same words, and he says, I am El Shaddai. I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply, and a nation and a company of nations shall come from you, and kings shall come from your own body. And so this whole language of El Shaddai, God Almighty, again, this is that singular word, El, God, God Almighty, like Isaiah will call him El Gabor in Isaiah chapter 9. But you have this same assurance that this is El Shaddai, just like El Shaddai appeared to Abraham. El Shaddai had appeared to Isaac, and he appears to Jacob. And so he's reiterating and recertifying this for him. And he gives them those same words that were given to Adam and Eve in the garden, and the same words that the pre-incarnate Christ gave to Noah. Be fruitful and multiply. Always talking about this, the creation and the recreation, the new creation, and assuring that nations shall come from Jacob and kings shall come from Jacob. And then he reassures them, and again he says that the land that I gave to Abraham and to Isaac, I'm going to give to you, and I'm going to give it to your offspring. So that promise of the land is once more repeated into the ears of Jacob so that he can be certain and sure of this promise. And that land is always the land of incarnational language, because it's in this location, it's in this place, in Bethlehem, where the Messiah will be born, and in Jerusalem, where the Messiah shall die. And so this is all this reassuring for Jacob, that this is the same God, this is the same promises.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest on this Thursday afternoon, April the 30th. We're doing our regular weekly series with him, Christ in the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 35. He's pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, and he hosts a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Emmanuel Lutheran, Alexandria, Virginia. Bethel Lutheran, Ballinger, Texas. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Eola, Texas. Beautiful Savior Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Christ Our King Community Lutheran, Costa Mesa, California. Lord of Life Lutheran, Plano, Texas. Christ Lutheran, Platte Woods, Missouri. Hope Lutheran, Sonora, Texas. Faith Lutheran, Azona, Texas. And Emmanuel Lutheran, Steger, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
In Hosea 4, we read, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." At the CLCC, we educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Christians would if they learned what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website at theclcc.org. See what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And encourage your pastors to hold an event in your area. For more information, go to theclcc.org.
Don't be afraid. In heaven right now, all are bowing before the Lamb upon His throne.
Listen to chapel services live weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana at issuesetc.org.
Who are these ones in white stoles? You know who they are. And it's you. It's what will be yours.
Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel, live weekday mornings, 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Putting Christ back into Christian radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
I think every man, every Christian should consider, at least, the possibility of God calling him into the holy ministry.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Carl Fekencher of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Because that's the way that God has designed for faith in Christ Jesus to be spread, for the gift of eternal life that Christ Jesus earned by His death and resurrection to be shared with people by the washing of baptism for infants and for adults, for the instruction, the proclamation of the Word that happens on a nonstop basis in God's kingdom. God uses people, He uses men to be those proclaimers, to be those men who share the sacraments.
If you've ever considered becoming a pastor, contact Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Their phone number, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're doing our Christ in the Old Testament series with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer, looking in Genesis chapter 35. So we have God telling him to go there. God repeats all the promises to him there, changes his name. Then you say we can also see Jesus in the construction of this altar there at Bethel. How do we see that?
Well, of course, first of all, just an altar in and of itself is a place where the people of God gather to call upon Yahweh. So they're calling upon him in prayer and praise and thanksgiving. At the same time, it's the place where you hear the preaching of Yahweh. And in particular, you're going to hear the preaching of Yahweh's salvation that is in the promises of the coming Messiah. So when you have an altar, this is the place where God's people gather to hear the word and to see the word as they see the sacrifice, so that you have the shedding of blood. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So this whole imagery of the altar points us towards Christ. This is a type and a shadow of the reality to come, the one who brings to us this reconciliation and atonement for all of our sin. And so you have an altar in particular at Bethel that will be constructed, that will be dedicated. And so he there builds an altar, and he calls this El Bethel, because there Elohim had revealed themselves to him when he had fled from his brother. And so at this place of Bethel, we've talked about this before, Beth is this house of El, of God, so the house of God. But in particular, he's going to call this, as he dedicates this altar, he's going to say it is the God of the house of God. It's El Bethel. And so he's talking here about Christ, because again, we had this distinction between Elohim, the plurality, all three persons of the Blessed Trinity, and then you have in particular the person of the Son is El, the one who appears, that he sees and he speaks. And this is similar that just took place in the previous chapter, back in 33, when Jacob was at Shechem. Because also at Shechem, he does the same thing where he erects an altar, and the people gather around to hear this promise of the Messiah, the one who bestows life, holiness, and forgiveness. And so at that altar, back in Genesis 33, he called that altar El Elohe Yisrael. So that, in other words, is it's El, the God of the Elohim, the gods of Israel. See, so it's the person of the Son of the three persons of the Blessed Trinity of Israel. So you have the plurality and the particular, Elohim and El. And so it is at this place, at Bethel, where God reveals his knowledge of salvation in the incarnation. Remember, this is the place with the ladder, the person and work of Christ, the way that you have access to heaven. The heavens are open only because of Christ. And so it's here where the preaching of Christ will be made very clearly as they celebrate and they rejoice. And it's here where they set up this pillar of stones, and they anoint it with the wine and the oil. And so even the anointing itself is pointing towards this word Christ, which means anointed one, the Mashiach. And so they anoint the stones. And as we've talked before with the stones here at the altar, it's bearing witness that this is the stone that the builders rejected, like Psalm 118. It's the stumbling stone, like in Isaiah 8, and it's the foundation stone in the resurrection in Isaiah 20. So this is all preaching Christ to the people, visibly, tangibly, physically.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. We'll take another break on this Thursday afternoon. When we come back, we will talk more about Genesis chapter 35. We've got Jesus in the putting away of foreign gods, something that seems pretty obvious to me. And Jesus in the deaths of Deborah, Rachel, and Isaac. That's not as obvious. We'll have Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer explain that as we continue our series, Christ in the Old Testament, on this Thursday afternoon. We're in Genesis chapter 35. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy, and you'll find a link to it under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Have you recently graduated from high school or college and are still making up your mind about your future career? Here's an opportunity to serve your neighbor through an extended, uniquely Lutheran service program. It's called the Lutheran Youth Corps. Find out more about the Lutheran Youth Corps at lcms.org/youthcorps. Life together through witness and mercy, the Lutheran Youth Corps. lcms.org/youthcorps.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
It's not about you, it's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Would you like to help a college or seminary student attend the Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference? You can purchase a conference scholarship for a donation of $100 to Issues, Etc. To donate online, fill out the registration form at issuesetc.org and insert scholarship in the first name field. Or you can make your $100 check payable to Issues, Etc., write scholarship in the memo line, and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
For 20 years, we've lifted our voices and instruments to the hymns of Stephen Starkey. Now, CPH has the first ever CD collection of Pastor Starkey's works titled, We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God. This 12-track CD includes nearly an hour of music from the most beloved Lutheran hymn writer of our time. Order now. Use promotion code URA. We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God, is only $15.99. CPH.org.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. He joins us every week for our ongoing series, Christ in the Old Testament. Today, 10 more minutes with him in Genesis chapter 35. He also says we can find Christ here in this Old Testament story in Jacob's putting away of the foreign gods. How would you describe that?
Well, again, he's going to make this altar, and he's going to make it specific to the El, the God singular who appeared to him at Bethel. And so you have this baptismal language here, that they are to put away these foreign gods. That's the idolatry. That's the false worship. That's the ways that they've inherited from the nations, their contemporaries, on how to gain access to God. Well, you're cleansing, you're purifying, you're changing your garments. Very baptismal language. And then not only that, but you're going to bury these false approaches to God. And so all of these old works that you used to do, now we put this behind us and we do the new works as we go to this new altar and we go to the place to hear Jesus.
There is Jesus, and this is a little more obscure, so you're going to have to explain it. Jesus found there in the death of Deborah, Rachel, and Isaac.
Yeah, so throughout Genesis, we begin with life, and we've talked about this before, that you end Genesis with death, but you have the promise of life, though, throughout, the promise that there was going to be a seed that the virgin will conceive, and she'll bear a child, and it will crush the serpent's head. So you're waiting for Yahweh's salvation, and you're waiting for this seed. And so you have these, everybody's gathering here at this altar. This is the place where we're going to hear this preaching. This is the place where he reveals the person and work of Christ at the latter. And so you have the Gentiles coming in. You have this conversion of the area of people coming in. These foreign gods are being put away. And then in this passage, it's not by accident, but the Holy Spirit intentionally inserts three deaths in this one chapter. And so you have the death of Deborah, you have the death of Rachel, and you have the death of Isaac. So 1, 2, 3 in the one chapter where Jacob is going to be this son of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and this promise will continue with Jacob and his 12 sons, the 12 tribes of Israel. And so you also have the naming of all the 12 tribes, that we're going to end on this note here with Isaac, that he is assured of his death in the hands of God, who is life. You're going to hear this preaching at Bethel, where they're all gathered around this new altar. They're dedicating it to the El of Bethel, that they're going to hear of the person and work of Christ. And so it tells us as they're doing this, all of a sudden Deborah dies. Well, this is Rebecca's nurse, and she died, and she's buried there at this oak below Bethel. Now, the oak is called the Oak of Weeping because of the sorrow and the sadness of death. And this, you have a loved one, and a loved one has died, but what other better place is there than right when you've heard the preaching of Christ and the resurrection and the promise that he will overcome death, that he brings life and a new creation, and we will be fruitful and we'll multiply, and this is exactly where you lay to rest the remains of Deborah, so that she is there at Bethel, the house of God. And so then you continue on, and as you continue, you hear that they're heading towards Bethlehem, which of course is this house of bread. And there on their way to Bethlehem, you have Rachel. She dies, and she's dying while she's giving birth. And so the whole promise of a child being born, and she has this child, and she's dying, and she's weeping, and she names this child Ben-Oni, which is the meaning the son of my sorrow, because she is sorrowing and she's remorsing, just like the oak of weeping with the death of Deborah. That death brings this weeping, this sorrow, this sadness. And here you have Rachel who dies in childbirth. Now, what you have for Jacob is Jacob takes this child into his arms, and he renames the child. And he says, this child isn't going to be named the son of my sorrow, but instead, this child is going to be named the son of my right hand. He is going to be Benjamin. He's going to be the son at the right hand of me. And so this is all taking place right there, where a tomb is going to be set up right in the vicinity of Bethlehem, the place where Rachel is weeping and she dies in childbirth, but the place where we're going to be assured of the promise of a child who is born for us, a son that's given to us, the one who is El Gabor, the one who is Emmanuel, who will take away all of this sorrow and sadness. And so what you have here is this contrast of these two names. And as we've talked about before with this Polish Lutheran pastor, Valerius Herberger, he does this amazing job when he's looking at this and meditating upon this passage. For he takes this understanding of the son of sorrow as a name that points us to Jesus, which, of course, Jesus is this man of sorrows, as Isaiah talks about in Isaiah 52 and 53. So that in the suffering and death and the crucifixion and rejection of Jesus, he is the one who is taken upon our sorrows. And then also, Jesus in his resurrection, in his ascension to the right hand of the Father, he is the true Benjamin, the son of the right hand of the Father. So Valerius Herberger is meditating upon these truths and these wonders that we have right here. While Rachel is dying, she had just heard and she'd been hearing the words about Jesus, the seed that would crush the serpent's head. And so Valerius Herberger says that we finally have that in the incarnation, the child that is born of Mary. And of course, in the New Testament, you have this whole incident where Herod is slaughtering the innocents there in Bethlehem. And this is where Rachel is weeping, as Jeremiah tells us. But you have these two names, the son of sorrow and the son of the right hand. In the death and the rejection and the crucifixion of Jesus and painting this picture in his resurrection and ascension. And then Valerius Herberger goes on and he explains that because of this promise of Christ, that in Christ we are a new creation, that we become sons of God and heirs of the kingdom, heirs of eternal life, then we too go from sons of sorrow in this vale of tears, in which we live in a fallen world where there is pain and suffering, and then we anticipate in our own death, in our own resurrection, when we become sons at his right hand, so that we are with Christ eternally. And so then you have, of course, that the chapter ends with Isaac dying on the same note and the same promise.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, hosts a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Brian, thank you very much for being our guest.
Great to be here, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to discuss the alleged discovery of a dinosaur fossil with bat wings. Dr. Joel Heck will be our guest. We'll also talk with Chris Roseborough in This Week in Pop American Christianity. Folks, we are 50 days away from the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. This is the premier conference for the laity. It's Friday, June the 19th and Saturday, June the 20th, right here in Collinsville, Illinois, very near, just about 15 miles east of St. Louis. You can meet and hear Pastor Chris Roseborough, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, Dr. David Menton, Dr. Paul Meyer, who will be our keynote speaker, Will Wheaton, and Jonathan Fisk, all there at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Registration for the conference is just $100. It includes three meals. That's for adults. They're $35 for child care, including meals as well, on Friday night, Saturday afternoon, and Saturday evening. To register, go to our website, issuesetc.org, or contact Craig, 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385. You can also email Craig with any questions you have on the conference, craig@issuesetc.org, craig@issuesetc.org. It's the premier conference for the laity, the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 19th and 20th, right here in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
How would you like to attend a conference and hear Paul Meyer, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, David Menton, Chris Roseborough, Jonathan Fisk, and Will Wheaton? You're invited to the 2015 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 19th and 20th in Collinsville, Illinois. Registration is $100 per person. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 19th and 20th in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org.
When you need a friend, you have a friend in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and friends among His people at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri. At Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, we offer Christ-centered word and sacrament ministry, inspirational liturgical worship services, and faithful preaching and teaching. Sunday worship services are at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible class are at 10:30. We also have an excellent Christian preschool. We invite you to join us. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, 2211 Tenbrook Road, Arnold, Missouri, 636-296-1292.